Brethren, I have a prayer in my heart that what I have to say can be said under the direction of the Spirit to our edification. I invite you to join me in that prayer. I have in mind saying a few things about the responsibilities of priesthood bearers. I shall first speak to us fathers concerning our responsibility to teach and train our children. I shall then speak to the bearers of the Aaronic priesthood. I recently spent Saturday night in a hotel. Sunday morning, I was awakened by rowdy talking. The language was profane, filthy, and disgusting. I was shocked to learn that the speakers were mere children. Into my mind came the proverb, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And then came the words of the Revelation, "Little children cannot sin, for power is not given unto Satan to tempt little children." And then I read and thought about the next sentence, "That great things may be required at the hands of their fathers." I was saddened as I thought about the suffering which these children and their fathers will have to endure because of the neglect of the training required by their fathers. We fathers should never forget the Lord's decree that inasmuch as parents have children in Zion, that teach them not to understand the doctrines of repentance, faith in Christ, the Son of the living God, and of baptism, and the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of the hands when 8 years old, the sin be upon the heads of the parents. And they shall also teach their children to pray and to walk uprightly before the Lord. Referring to these instructions, the Doctrine and Covenants commentary has this to say: many people in the world consider that they have done their full duty to their children when they have given them shelter, food, clothing, and education. But Latter-day Saints have a still more important duty. As parents, they must teach their children. It is not enough to send them to primaries, Sunday schools, and day schools. The parents themselves have a personal duty to perform as teachers of their children. They must see to it that the little ones are taught to pray and walk uprightly before the Lord. Now, if we fathers would frequently read verses 40 to 50 of the 93rd section of the Doctrine and Covenants, we would be greatly helped to keep alert to the divinely imposed responsibility to teach and train our children. And now let me remind you, Aaronic priesthood holders, that you yourselves have a responsibility in this matter. The Lord holds you responsible for your own conduct from the time you are 8 years of age. At birth, each of you were enlightened by the Spirit of Christ. This Spirit, sometimes called the conscience, gave you a sense of right and wrong even before you were 8 years old. When you were baptized and confirmed, you were given the gift of the Holy Ghost to help you. At 12 years, most of you received the Aaronic priesthood. To you, God actually delegated some of his priesthood power and authority. He has so much confidence in you that he has given you authority to perform certain functions of his church, functions which the Savior himself performed. And when you perform them, your actions are just as sacred and authoritative as when Jesus or his apostles performed them. Concerning the responsibilities of the Aaronic priesthood, the Lord, at the time he organized this church, said, the priest's duty is to preach, teach, expound, exhort, and baptize, and administer the sacrament, and visit the house of each member, and exhort them to pray vocally and in secret, and attend to all family duties. The teacher's duty, he said, is to watch over the church always and be with and strengthen them, and see that the church meet together often, and also see that the members do their duties. The deacon's duty is to pass the sacrament, gather fast offerings, and to warn, expound, exhort, and teach, and invite all to come unto Christ. The blessings you will receive, you Aaronic priesthood bearers, if you properly perform your assigned Aaronic priesthood duties, will be glorious. I hope you will have such a desire and a determination to so magnify your present callings that when you receive the Melchizedek priesthood, you will continue on until you are numbered among the elect of God, which the Lord promises in the great revelation on priesthood as follows. He says, whoso is faithful unto the obtaining of these two priesthoods and the magnifying of their callings are sanctified by the Spirit unto the renewing of their bodies. They become the sons of Moses and of Aaron and the seed of Abraham and the church and the kingdom and the elect of God. As a general rule, great and noble men have been noble boys who built their foundations for greatness while they were in their Aaronic priesthood years. As I now refer to some of these great men, I suggest that you note their virtues and resolve to emulate them. You might pick out one as an ideal that you'd like to emulate. First, let us consider Joseph, the great, and take note of the great moral virtue of chastity demonstrated by Joseph. At 17 years of age, Joseph was taken into Egypt as a slave and sold to Potiphar, a captain of the king's guards. His upright, efficient conduct so impressed Potiphar that he made him master of all his possessions, including his home and his household. Joseph was such an attractive and able that Potiphar's wife repeatedly sought to seduce him. He, however, rejected her advances, saying, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? She lied about him, and he was imprisoned. Because of his integrity, however, the Lord so blessed him that he was released from prison and became Pharaoh's chief administrator. Eventually, he became an instrument in preserving the whole house of Israel. Most of us here tonight proudly claim to be numbered among his posterity. Every priesthood bearer, Aaronic and Melchizedek, should observe Joseph's standard of chastity. Another great man, Daniel. He was a great example of courage. As a youth, he was taken into Babylon to be trained by King Nebuchadnezzar. At their peril, he and his three Hebrew companions refused to break what amounted to their word of wisdom. They refused to eat the rich and the rich foods and things that were not good for them to eat. Later, Daniel further demonstrated his courage by advising two kings of interpretations the Lord had revealed to him, to Daniel, of manifestations which the kings had received, manifestations which pretended evil for these kings. Daniel told the first king that he would lose his mind and become like a beast of the field, eating grass as an ox. He told the second king that he would be cut down from the pinnacle of power. So advising these absolute monarchs evidenced great courage in this young man, Daniel. He evidenced superb courage of another kind in defiance of the king's edict. He chose to be thrown into the lion's den rather than to neglect his prayers to his heavenly Father. And now we come to Nephi, the great virtuous faith, as was demonstrated by Nephi as a mere youth. I will go, he said, and do the things which the Lord hath commanded me, for I know that the Lord giveth no commandment unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way that they may accomplish the thing which the Lord has commanded them. This was his response to the commandment the Lord had given to his father that he and his brethren go back to Jerusalem and get the plates from Laban. When his brother Laban went in and failed to convince Laban to let him have the plates, and he and his brother Lemuel were about to return to their father in the wilderness, Nephi said, as the Lord liveth and as we live, we will not go down unto our father in the wilderness until we have accomplished the things which the Lord hath commanded us. He then persuaded them to get the gold and precious ornaments they had at their home and try to get to buy the plates, and this they failed in getting. And then Nephi said to his complaining brothers, as they urged that they return to their father in the wilderness without the records, he said, let us go up again unto Jerusalem, and let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. For behold, he is mightier than all the earth. Then why not mightier than Laban and his 50, yea, or even of his tens of thousands? Nephi then, led by the Spirit, went in alone and came out with the plates. Great was the faith of this young man, Nephi, in his Aaronic priesthood years. Think of Mormon and his dependability. In case some of you Aaronic priesthood bearers feel that you are too young to assume the responsibilities of your calling, consider these quotations from the writings of Mormon. About the time that Amram hid up the records unto the Lord, he came to me, said Mormon, I being about 10 years of age, and said unto me, when ye are about 24 years of age, I would that ye should remember the things that ye have observed concerning the people, this people, and then you go to the hill which is called Shim, and there have I deposited the sacred engravings concerning this people. Take the plates of Nephi, he said, and engrave on them all the things that ye have observed concerning this people. These instructions Mormon received when he was but 10 years of age. And 5 years later, he wrote, and I being 15 years of age, there began to be a war between the Nephites and the Lamanites. And notwithstanding I being young, was large in stature, therefore the people of Nephi appointed me the leader of their armies. Therefore it came to pass that in my 16th year, I did go forth at the head of the army of the Nephites against the Lamanites. It would seem that an Aaronic priesthood bearer inclined to hesitate to perform the duties of his office because of his youth could take courage from the exploits of Mormon. And now the prophet Joseph Smith. In his youth, Joseph Smith the prophet exhibited all the noble virtues other boys who became great men have evidenced during their Aaronic priesthood age years. He possessed the morality demonstrated by Joseph in Egypt, the courage of Daniel, the faith of Nephi, and the reliability of Mormon. At 14 years of age, he had the faith to act upon the promise of James, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not." So acting, he received his first vision. Courage and reliability he demonstrated in his reaction to the abuse which followed his telling about that vision. "I soon found," wrote the prophet, "that my telling the story had excited a great deal of prejudice against me among professors of religion and was the cause of great persecution, which continued to increase. And though I was an obscure boy, only between 14 and 15 years of age, and my circumstances in life, such as to make a boy of no consequences in the world, yet men of high standing would take notice sufficient to excite the public against me and create a bitter persecution, and this was common among all the sects. They all united to persecute me. It was nevertheless," he said, "a fact that I had beheld a vision. I have thought since that I felt much like Paul when he made his defense before King Agrippa and related the account of the vision he had when he saw a light and heard a voice. But still there were but few who believed him. Some said he was dishonest, others said he was mad, and he was ridiculed and reviled. But all this did not destroy the reality of his vision. He had seen a vision, he knew it, and all the persecutions under heaven could not make it otherwise. And though they should persecute him unto death, yet he knew and would know to his last breath that he had seen a light and heard a voice speaking unto him, and all the world could not make him think or believe otherwise. So it was with me," said the prophet. "I had actually seen a light, and in the midst of that light I saw two persons, and they in reality spoke to me, and I could not deny it." These great virtues, you younger Aaronic priesthood people, brothers and sisters, are worth following if we would be successful as the great men who have preceded us. I bear my testimony to you that if we will do what these men did, we will be great men. And I bear that testimony to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.